Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. You know, I cannot believe 170 episodes into the Vet Blast podcast, and we did not have the one and only Dr. Courtney Campbell that's in the house.
What is going on, Dr. Adam Christman, man? It feels good to be with you. Even if it's virtual, it feels amazing.
It always does. It's so good. It's like a vitamin for my soul when I chat with you. You really are. You know, and to the listeners, I really hope you find somebody like I do in VetMed that you can chat with and just kind of riff and laugh and just be a voice of reason. And Courtney Campbell is that man in my life. So how are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic, man. Adam Christman, you're like a shot in the arm, man. You're like penicillin for the soul. It just feels so good. I was literally going to say we're going to save the best for last, but I'm hoping this is not your last podcast.
So
you save the best for 170. That is hopefully a lucky number.
Yeah, I think so. I might have just made that number up, by the way.
Okay.
So I think so, but we'll work with it. To our listeners, we're celebrating Black History Month here at DVM 360 and with our audience. We're going to be chatting about the wonderful article that Dr. Courtney Campbell has on the veterinary health gap. But before we get into that, just a little bit about our friend. So to our listeners that may not be familiar with Dr. Campbell, he is a board certified veterinary surgeon who specializes in orthopedic soft tissue and minimally invasive surgery. He's over in California, yay. And he's been on podcasts. He's been on the Rachel Ray Show, CBS's The Doctors, Home and Family. He was awarded the Excellence in Journalism and Outstanding Contributions to the Pet Industry Award at the Global Pet Expo in 2020. He shares his life between veterinary surgery, journalism, media, exploring the depth of the human-animal bond, hanging with Adam Christman. And he looks forward to all the great possibilities in 2023.
Yes, absolutely. The most important one was the last. Hanging with Adam Christman, you know what I mean? Everything else goes on hold. All that other stuff that you mentioned, which is great, but all of that goes on hold if Adam Christman's in the house.
Yeah, no, you need to be wise and prioritize.
Dude, I got to borrow that. That's perfect.
So, you know, I've always been such a fan of everything that you do. And you have such grace. You're bringing such charisma to the profession, in and out of the profession, I will say. And you know, in a moment where we're celebrating Black History Month here in 2023, what does it mean to Courtney Campbell?
You know, that's such a great question. I mean, I appreciate all those kind words, but those are to me sort of aspirational, right? I want to get there someday. So I appreciate you saying that. For me, Black History Month is really simple, right? It is about those three components of life. Past, present, and future, right? For me, Black History Month is a time to celebrate past contributions of those individuals who kind of paved the way and broke down barriers for me to be here. Two, it's the present, right? It's me hopefully creating a better future for the profession and hopefully making living history. And then in the future is looking back at this pipeline in veterinary medicine, looking back at the pipeline of Black excellence and saying, look at all these young stars that we have coming up and these people who are going to be making incredible innovations and creativity and building a better future for just people in general. Of course, I'm biased towards veterinary medicine, but just building a better future for veterinary medicine and life in general. So for me, Black History Month is a time to celebrate all of those, the past, the living history of the present, and the future history that we create every day.
Oh, I love hearing that. And, you know, to the listeners, if you haven't seen the articles, Dr. Campbell was really instrumental with a lot of our wonderful colleagues, Dr. Nicole Bruno over at the VMX conference when it really warmed my heart, Courtney. I got to tell you, and I wasn't there because I was speaking during that time, but to see those children be inspired of veterinary medicine, a group of completely wonderful, diverse kids that were on Martin Luther King Day, by the way, which I just thought was even more powerful. What did that mean to you?
You know, I'll be honest, that experience, it looked like I was providing those kids with a remarkable experience and introduction into vet med. But really, it was a two-way street. I mean, they taught me just as much as I taught them. For me, it was, you know, just something silly, like a silly mistake I made where I was teaching them how to suture, and I had these excellent suture pads donated by awesome sponsors, and they were learning how to suture, and I underestimated how much time it takes to really learn how to suture. For me, I was like, here, take the needle, put it through there, make the curve, and then go from there. And they would hold the needle like, you know, they were afraid from the tip for a good reason. It's very sharp. It could poke you. And so it just made all the sense in the world to me to take the time, put it through stepwise process, watching the zeal on their eyes as they simply put on a surgery gown. It's something that is perfunctory, we take for granted. And for them, it was a remarkable procedure and a sort of a feat of achievement, if you will, of just placing a surgery gown. And then finally, what I knew, I kind of knew this was going to be the case, but the point where they found to be the most interactive, most fun, was actually placing implants on bones, on bone models. So we had them drilling holes, placing screws, putting on plates. And I said, hey guys, you got 7 minutes to learn advanced orthopedics. If you don't know advanced orthopedics by 7 minutes, then you may, no, I'm just kidding. Of course not. I mean, shoot, I don't even know. But at the end of the day, I said, you got to learn how to suture, put on a gown, and learn advanced orthopedics all in 15 minutes. If you can't do it, you just don't cut it.
Right.
But no, they were amazing. And I definitely want to say that they taught me just as much as I taught them.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's such a wonderful thing to see and to hear. And I always say to the listeners in vet med, no matter what role you play, all it takes is just a moment, like you said, to put on a surgical cap, and they might have this aha moment is, that's cool. I think I can do this. You know, I can see myself. Representation matters. You know, all of those things come together when we're doing these moments that are not, you're not even realizing you're doing it. When I have children that are in the exam room and I'm chatting with mom and I see at the corner of my eye that they're really like engaged, you could just get a look. And I was like, do you want to take a listen to your dog's heart? And I'll have kids now, adults now, now that I'm old, they like, wow, I'm in vet school because of you, because I remember when you let me listen to my dog's heart, it really made me realize I want to do this.
Right.
So just, yeah, and I appreciate that's you what, sharing that.
No doubt. And I think it overlays so beautifully with what you asked me earlier, which is the past, the present, and future. And today I have the privilege of actually being able to discuss that with you. And this morning, many people don't know, but I'm the chair of the ACVS DEI committee, which for me is a really significant moment for me in my life, partly because when I joined the college of the ACVS, there were no stats, there were no figures, there was no diversity, equity, inclusion committee at all. And then joining the college, prompted by the murder of George Floyd, this groundswell of attention and this consciousness, so the social justice, came within the specialty college. So here you have me in the privileged position of being the chair of that organization, but then also reaching back down towards eighth graders in the pipeline to help sort of fuel that. So when people say to me, Courtney, what can we do to increase diverse people within the College of Veterinary Surgeons? I always say to them, this is a process that's going to take at least 10 to 15 years, right, to enrich that pipeline. So what I'm trying to do, exactly what you said, reach back in the pipeline, right, to the future, so I can help the future, but then also help the very present day as to what's happening on a daily basis.
Yeah, excellent. Well said, my friend. So, you know, as we transition into chatting about access to care, if you haven't gotten your issue of DVM 360, by the way, look who's on the cover. What?
Man, I can't believe he did this. It's a little embarrassing. Why not? I don't know, man. I honestly think you definitely have the face for a cover of magazines. I have more of a face for radio, but get that's okay. You know what I'm saying?
Listen,
I have a face for podcasts.
Me too. That's why I do these. Yes. But all kidding aside, I think it's just great. Again, here as we are trying to move the needle forward to show representation matters, having you on the cover, you are our keynote at the end of last year with Dr. Molly McAllister on access to care, really, really resonated with the audience on that, Dr. Campbell, which kind of has created this opportunity for you to have the cover story for the February issue of DVM 360 on access to care in patient and client health. This article, we're not going to get into it because you have to pick up the issue and read it. But I want Dr. Campbell just to kind of give us like a little bit of a high level overview, because there's two things that really struck out with me or stood out with me in this article. When you talk about social determinants of health, and then you also talk about the five commitments to veterinary health, justice, and equity. So let's just back up and talk to me a little bit about like what you mean when you talk about the social determinants of health.
So thank you for talking about that keynote, because that was a remarkable time. That was an incredible time to share our story with a large group of people and just talk about what we mean when we're talking about the veterinary health gap. And when I talk about the veterinary health gap, is I want to close that gap, that bridge between a client's knowledge, the human-animal bond between a pet parent and their pet and their non-species, non-human family member, right? And I want to close that between the doctor and that family, and the ways that we can do that. And we kind of outline those five commitments towards justice, towards decreasing that veterinary gap, and making sure that bond between that family and that provider are solid, right? And so when we're talking about the social determinants of health, essentially what we're talking about is, are the things that occur outside of the exam room, do they have any influence on the health in general? Now, the social determinants of health certainly is a very well-known and established theory. Is a very well-known and established principle on the human side. It just, they're defined as conditions and environments where people are born, where they live, where they work and play and worship, and their age, and how all of that affects their health and quality of life, right? And the risks that they take, essentially, where you work or where you go to school or what apartment you live in or what house you live in or what zip code you live in can all have an effect on your health outcomes, and they are strong determinants on whether or not we are thriving. And so knowing those social determinants of health, essentially, we can understand the society that we live in, right? We value health as a society. We value the health of our, non-human family members. And so when we value that, when we see poor health in both people and in the pets that we have in our families, that also speaks to society. So the question becomes, how do we do that? How do we improve that? How do we get better at improving those lives? And I think that we all have a role to play in improving those lives, even if we think, nah, I can't do this. I'm too busy. Or no, my life is, I'm not in that branch of work where they do this. By the way, there's amazing people doing this outstanding work, including Dr. Michael Blackwell, who is focused mainly on veterinary social work, right? And so we know that there are outstanding people doing this kind of work. My argument simply in the article was, we all can play a role in that, right? Just because you're not in veterinary social work is that we all can play a role. So we did in the article outline those five commitments for veterinary health, justice, and equity. And those really quickly are the human-animal bond education, diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, community, access to care, and then a commitment towards positive change and sustainable solutions.
That's wonderful. I love hearing that. And, the access to care is really something that is kind of front and center, I would say, for the past couple of years, especially this year. I know we talk about access to care and spectrum of care, but, my last question to you, how does this, what we're talking about, everything you're talking about, kind of fall in line or is of concern with access to care? In other words, there's practices. I was just chatting to a veterinary hospital yesterday. There's not another veterinary practice around them for 6 hours. And so the pressure for this hospital to do everything is enormous. And they're general practitioners in terms of referral and everything. What does that mean to you and what we're talking about?
That word access to care, what I like the fact that you said it is front and center, because putting it front and center has forced us to get close to access to care. And when you really want to understand something, if you really want to get to know somebody, you got to get close to them, right? And so getting to know Adam Crisman, man, that's like that's the highlight of my freaking life, right? And you got to get close to Adam Crisman. You got to just basically get a chance to listen to him, hang out with him, just really hang out with a great guy. And then you get to understand him. And that's exactly what's happening now with access to care. We're getting close to that issue. We're getting proximate to that issue. And we're really starting to understand it. And one thing we understand when it comes to access to care is that it goes beyond geo-proximity, right? It goes beyond the fact that there's not a hospital for 6 hours. There's not another hospital for 6 hours. That by far is a huge barrier to care. But there's also financial barriers to care. There's also linguistic or cultural barriers to care. When we talk about diversity and equity, inclusion, belonging, that can be a barrier to access to care, right? If you have a veterinarian that's close by, you have the funds to afford veterinary bills, right? You have all of that. But when you walk in, they are mean, they're rude, they're not unkind, they don't have time for you. Now it's like, I don't feel like I have access to that care. Or let's say they didn't explain things or educate, there's not an access to pet health education. Now it just feels like I don't have access to that, to care. So I think the key for me is just understanding that there are so many things that we can do. And what's beautiful is that there are veterinarians who are doing it every single day in the so-called trenches. But for me, the key is there are veterinarians every day who are working to decrease that gap and increase access to care through a variety of ways, even if they are distant from a veterinarian.
I love that. Absolutely. It's what it's all about, my friend. This is fantastic. So I love that. And again, to the listeners, if you want to learn more, please check out Dr. Campbell's article, the February issue of DVM 360 magazine. Now, more importantly, it's my turn to Barbara Walters, RIP Barbara Walters. Barbara Walters, Dr. Courtney Campbell. I want to know a little bit more, and so do our listeners. We got a couple of questions that came in, by the way, because I said to my friends, I'm about to interview Dr. Courtney Campbell, and what are some questions you want to know about him? And we have a mutual friend that wants to know the following. The person that I would love to hang out with most, dead or alive on this planet, is, insert Courtney's answer, please.
The person that I would love to hang out with the most, dead or alive.
Yeah.
It has to be Bruce Lee. I can't really? Substitute. Yeah, I just can't. It's hard. I mean, there are so many people, right? We could go through a list of 10 and all of them would be on first place. But if you put me on the spot, I'm going to say Bruce Lee would be number one. And one principle he said is be like water, my friend, be like water. You know,
there you go.
Adapt to whatever wherever you are.
Adapt. Right. Okay. Yeah. Rapid fire questions I'm going to throw at you. Okay. Really quick ones. Favorite movie.
Jeez, man, it's so hard. Thank You for Smoking.
Okay. Favorite color?
Ooh, blue. Yes. Blue.
Okay. Favorite comfort food?
Ooh, chicken and rice.
My favorite walkout song would be
In the Club by 50 Cent.
Oh, all right. Cool. Mine's DMX Up in Here.
Okay. Of course, man. A lot of dog barking.
Yeah. When I grew up in the 90s, my favorite trend was?
Roll my pants leg cuff up a little bit, I think. Yes. You got to roll the cuffs up and make them tight at the bottom, man.
Right. Favorite place I wish to be on vacation?
Ooh, I would say the Maldives. I've never been there, man. I want to check that out. Just an island, just an isolated island on the Maldives. It would be amazing.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. And lastly, would you rathers? Okay. Would you rather? You have one answer. That's it. You cannot.
That's it.
Okay. Would you rather hang with 3LW or SWV?
Oh, SWV all day.
What?
Sister with Voices, man. You got
where are my girls at?
Man. From the front to back. Is you feeling it? Put one hand up. Can you repeat that? Wow. Best chorus ever.
Right. Lady Gaga or Beyonce?
Would you rather Lady Gaga.
New Kids on the Block or NSYNC?
I got to go JT, man, NSYNC.
Okay.
Yep.
Would you rather have French toast or pancakes for breakfast every day?
Ooh, got to go with the pancakes with a little bit of strawberries on top. Oh my goodness. You bougie. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you bougie.
Hey, man, it's in Santa Barbara, man. That's going to be at least $40 for a stack of pancakes.
Who is this guy? Okay, would you rather paper cut in between the webbing of your hands or on the eyelid?
Oh, definitely between the hands. Between the hands all day, man. On the eyelid? It sounds right? like some sort of enhanced interrogation technique.
That's some Final Destination stuff.
Exactly.
Right there. Okay. Oh, and lastly, would you rather Disney or Universal? Answer correctly.
Oh, I believe there's only one correct answer. It's got to be Disney all day.
Very good.
Ah, ding, 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 ding. He wins, man. I knew it. I mean, I had a feeling, you know what I mean? I said, yeah. If I don't answer this one correctly, I'll never be invited back. So I knew that was the bonus round.
Actually, do you have a favorite Disney character or any character like that you... I mean,
favorite Disney character? I don't. You got me on this. I don't have a favorite. Do you have one?
Because
it might trigger something. It might trigger a thought in my mind.
Well, favorite Disney character? There's two. One, I love Mr. Hendrickson from Up. I think I just love him. He's crotchety. He's like, get off my lawn, but he's full of courage.
Yes.
You know, I love him. And I love Encanto. And I think she's. Yeah, Maribel I just really think that's a really brand new character that has broke the mold of like awesomeness. So I just, everybody has a gift is what I say, but.
I like that. You know, so now you have me, you've motivated me to go find my favorite Disney character, because in my head, I'm like racking my brain. I'm like, I've seen so many Disney movies, but.
Well, this is what we're going to do then. When we hang out next time, we're going to watch a Disney movie, you know? Oh.
Perfect.
And, you know, we'll find a character that you can really, really like. So,
oh man, this is like, honestly, this is the homework that I never knew I wanted.
Yes, yeah,
this
right.
Is exactly. This is exactly what I need.
Dr. Courtney Campbell, thank you so much for being on. Where can our listeners learn more about you?
Please check me out on all socials at Dr. Courtney DVM on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And let's have a conversation. So check me out there. And I look forward to saying hi to all of you.
Absolutely. And we'll put all of that information in the show notes for you guys as well. And Dr. Campbell, thanks for being on.
Man, this was incredible. You know me, man. I am surprised that we were able to do a podcast because we could literally chat for 5 hours. So I appreciate you.
Tell the listeners what happens, everybody, really quick. Like, this is when you know you have such a good friend or whatever. Like, you, when you get on a call with somebody, like, you know, you got to get business done, but it's about, what is it for us? About 45 minutes of just rambling and riffing, which is like, you know, saving me a copay. And then we'll get like 5 minutes of business.
Absolutely. 45 minutes of just horsing around and 5 minutes of business. Right. And that's a decent ratio. I like that.
Yeah, that's really good. That's how it should be. So,
thank you so much, man.
This You're welcome.
Awesome experience. And if it's 170, remember that number, because it's going to be the best podcast you've ever done.
You know it. Somebody called Billboard. We're about to drop a hit.
There we go.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate this session. Really rate this one. I'm not kidding. Like, this is like next level Uber rating right here. And we will see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.